So devotees, welcome to our seminar on the 10 offenses against the chanting of the holy names. We are in this seminar, among other things, we're going to try to frighten you. Seriously. To avoid offenses. So, you know, we're going to talk about the dangers of offenses and the reactions that people get sometimes and different examples of such reactions, all that sort of thing. So, but let's begin on a bright note. Let's begin by singing a song, which is up there, at least there's first couple of verses. Let's see, where is it? Goranga. So let's sing the song. Do we have a qualified harmonium player? Licensed. Unlicensed. Oh, okay. It's a simple tune. Let me just find the words. Do we have a licensed cartel player? Mridanga player, I think we got. Anyone with at least a bachelor's degree in cartels? No, you can play. You have a master's degree. Okay, here we go. Karanga karuna karo dina hina jane mosa mopatita prabhu nahi tribo vane. Karuna karo dina hina jane mosamopatita prabhu nahi tribo vane. Dore kara daki hai tumara kripa kare so ama hridaya mandile. Thank you.
Santa Trinadore Gloria Dati Toma Kripa Kori Sho Ama Vidaya Mandire Doya na kori be patita dekia patita pavana nama kishela lagia. Jadidaya na karibe patita dekia patita pavana nama kishela lagia. Padechi bavato pane nahi kanistara shichalana taranidane dase korapa. Padeci bavato pane naika nistara Sri Chalantara nidane dasi koropa. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dasirano Dasa Prarthana Karaye Sada Narottama Dasa. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dasirano Dasa Prarthana Karaye Sata Narottama Dasa Ya karuna karo dina ima jane masama patita prabhu nahi tibo zane Karanga Karuna Karo Dina Ina Jane Masama Patita Prabhu Nahi Tibu Vane Jai Gaunitai, Jai Gauranitai Jai Gauranga, Jai Gauranga Jai Goranga Srila Narottam Das Thakur ki
Jai
Shri Hare Krishna Mahamantra ki
Jai
Gopremanande
Jai
I don't know if you're familiar with this song, devotees, or if you, do we have any registered Bengalis here?
One.
Where? Oh, registered Bengali.
Sita.
Oh. Oh, okay. In the second verse, should it be this Dande Trina Dori Gora Daki He Toma or Tomare? Tomare. Okay, I thought so. Otherwise it doesn't rhyme. Anyway, okay, that's by the way. Let us just, well, I don't know, you know, how your Bengali is. Can you follow it? Can you follow it just by, you know, reading the words?
A little bit.
Let's just read the translation. I should have actually done it first, and then you would have known what you're singing, but anyway. Oh, my dear, this is now verse 1. Oh, my dear Lord Gauranga, please show your mercy to this lowly and destitute soul. O Lord, there is no one more fallen than myself in all the three worlds. 2. Holding grass between my teeth. O Lord Gora, I'm calling out to you now. Please be compassionate upon me and come to reside within the temple of my heart. 3. If you do not give your mercy, seeing how fallen I am, then why are you known as Patita Pavana, the merciful savior of the fallen? 4. I am plunged amidst the violent hurricane-stricken waves in the ocean of this material world, from which there is no escape. Kindly give me the gift of your divine lotus feet, which are compared to a boat in which your servant may cross over the ocean of birth and death. 5. Naratam Das, the servant of the servant of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, ceaselessly makes this prayer. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Sri Harinam Sankirtan Ki
Jai.
Sri Hare Krishna Mahamantra Ki
Jai.
Go Premanande. So welcome again, devotees. And we're so happy to be with you. And like we said, this is our seminar on the 10 offenses. And so in the seminar, of course, we're basically focusing on some things we should not do. There's not as much emphasis, although there, to some degree, there is, but definitely not as much on things that we should do and cultivate, and on the positive side, it's more in the spirit of warning. So we don't want to scare you away, but we do want you to develop a healthy fear for this. Yeah. A healthy respect for the necessity to avoid offenses, and a healthy awareness of the dangers of committing the offenses. So are you ready for a presentation of that sort?
Yes.
Okay. Fasten your seatbelts, because that's what you're going to get. But, I mean, there's definitely some positive sides. Ultimately, of course, it's all positive, because it'll lead us If we take it into our hearts, it'll lead us to a more positive, developed stage of our Krishna consciousness. Let me begin just by chanting a few prayers. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Neri Vishesha Shunyavadi Paschichade Jatane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Have you got a slide there listing the 10 offenses? No? Okay. Let's just begin then by running through the 10 offenses. And in the majority of you looking around, I can see majority of you are fairly kind of experienced, mature devotees in Krishna consciousness. Some of you have not been around so long, but in other words, I assume that generally you would understand what are the 10 offenses. Let's begin by just running through them. What we'll do, you've got your seatbelts fastened, right? First of all, one of the men, please tell us what is the first offense.
Yes. Yeah. The devotees who are dedicated to propagating the holy names of the Lord.
Well done, thank you. To blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy names of the Lord. One of the ladies, please tell us the second offense. I'm not singling any of you out individually, so just one of the ladies, just
consider
go.
The names of the demigods like Lord Rama and Lord Krishna.
Lord who?
Lord Rama and
Shiva. Lord Rama and Shiva. Lord Rama and Shiva. You're on the right track. I really admire the effort. Consider the names of the demigods, such as Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, to be equal to or independent of the holy names of Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna. Thank you. Gentlemen, the third offense, please. Yes. What was that? Well done. Thank you. What is the fourth offense, ladies? Yes.
To think that the chanting of Hare Krishna is an imagination.
You know, that's brilliant. It's number five.
Okay, sorry.
One of the men tell us number four. Two.
To blaspheme the Vedic literatures and pictures of the Vedic.
Well done, thank you. Yes, to blaspheme the Vedic literatures or literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version. And Mataji told us the fifth, thank you so much. To consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination. Back to the ladies for number six. That we just said it, that's number five. Number six. Well done, particularly a mundane interpretation on the holy names of the Lord. Gentlemen, number seven. Thank you. To commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy names. And ladies, number eight. As fruit of activities, karma kandya. Okay, good. To consider the chanting of Hare Krishna to actually be, in effect, to be a materialistic prayer for some, trying to elicit some material sort of gift or something, such as what is done by applying the Karmakandiya section of the Vedas, fruit of religious activities. Gentleman number 9.
To instruct the faith is closer to the glories of the Holy Name.
Okay, thank you. Well done. Who was, oh, that was Shonaka.
No, it was Vyanam.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. And ladies, number 10. Loud and clear. You got it. Well done. Plus, it's also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. You know, you are just wonderful devotees and we love you all. We think, though, there's a need to just sort of revise this list a bit. Yeah? What do you think? Anyway, I guess that's what we're doing here. Right, so those are the 10 offenses, plus the, you could say, 11th offense or additional kind of, it's almost like a super offense. But let us just dive into the subject. Let us dive in. I wanted to begin by just referring to a particular pastime which appears in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it's very nice and it's very instructive. That is when Lord Chaitanya received initiation from, who can tell me the guru of Lord Chaitanya? Thank you, Ishvarapuri. So when Lord Chaitanya received initiation from Ishvarapuri, then he asked, Lord Chaitanya asked Ishvarapuri that, all right, now I'm initiated, what should I do? What's my duty? It's a little bit of a, not really such a long story, but a little bit. But basically what happened was that Ishvarapuri ended up speaking in response, as an answer to the question, what should I do? What's, like, what is my duty now? Ishvarapuri spoke very famous verse, Hariyar Nam, Hariyar Nam, Hariyar Nam, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasjeva, 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 Gatir Anyata. That, what should you do now? You should chant the holy names, chant the holy names, chant the holy names of Hari, Krishna. In this Kali Yuga, there's no other way, no other way, no other way, Gatiya Anyata, to achieve the goal of life or of Krishna consciousness. No other way. That is a very emphatic verse. It's really, it would be hard to make the point more strongly. Kalo nasti eva. Asti means there is. Na asti means there is not. Eva means definitely. There's definitely no other way in this Kali Yuga except Hariyanam, 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 Eva, Kevalam. Eva again means definitely, Kevalam means only. Definitely only the chanting of the holy names. And there's definitely no other way. And of course the repetition in the two halves of the verse, you could say, everything is spoken three times, which according to Vedic, Sanskrit, what would you say, sort of grammatical or verbal systems of expression, when something is repeated three times, or spoken three times, that means it's definite. And you don't add more to it by chanting it a fourth time. And it's definitely more than saying it once, and it's more than saying it twice. Just like I sometimes mention as I travel around the world, at least, in South Africa, the use of the word now. You're all South Africans. You know that when the South Africans say now, they don't mean now. They mean, you know.
You know what?
Yeah, it's coming. Don't panic. It's on its way. It'll be here before too long. When they say now, it means it's really just very soon. It's sooner than just now. It's really soon. And when they say now, they mean now. I'm not insulting any of you, am I? I'm a South African also, of a sort. So three times in, according to Sanskrit modes of expression, three times means that's it. That it's absolutely emphatic. So Lord Chaitanya, he was instructed like that, and he said, okay, right. And he went away chanting. And when he was going away chanting, all ecstatic symptoms just overpowered and overwhelmed him, and just totally, he was consumed by all the, what are called the astasattvika bhavas, the eight main emotional ecstasies in the stage of love of God. And it even came to the point that he couldn't pronounce the mantra. The mantra means the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It's stated there, if you read that section, it's particularly in the seventh chapter of the Adi Leela, Chaitanya Charitamrita. The verse appears for the first time in the book. It also appears in at least one, maybe a couple of other places. And Lord Chaitanya elaborates further, and he says that my spiritual master, he spoke that verse, but then he said other things too, related things, developing the point. And he said, Krishna Nama Maha Mantra. In other words, specifically chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Not just some other, you know, Krishna, 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 or whatever, Krishna Jinaka Namahe, or some other sort of Krishna mantra or Krishna song. They're all nice. But specifically, Krishna Nama Maha Mantra. Chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So he, due to these just overpowering ecstatic symptoms, Lord Chaitanya was not able to chant steadily and clearly. His voice would break sometimes, he would collapse, and just like a similar thing to in the Rath Yatra, Lord Chaitanya, he'd go into a similar or the same state of ecstasy, and he'd look back at Jagannath on the chariot, and he'd try and chant Jagannath, Jai Jagannath, but all that would come out was Jaja Gaga, Jaja Gaga, Jaja Gaga. Yeah. So this is what happened then when Lord Chaitanya was initiated, and he really seriously started chanting. So as described there, he went back the next day and kind of maybe not complained, but at least he inquired, what sort of mantra have you given me? Either I'm not chanting it properly, or it's some sort of mantra that I, something out of this world. Because whenever I try to chant, then these things happen. And Ishwarapuri just smiled because he understood who is Lord Chaitanya and what's happening. And he said, "Congratulations, my dear child. You have perfected your life." So now my point, I mean, that's just an interesting little story. Not a very nice little story, but my point in the context of our seminar is that, well, question, how was it that that this happened with Lord Chaitanya? You know, we chant every day, don't we?
Yes.
We all chant at least 16 rounds, don't we?
Yes.
Okay, anyway, let's hope. But if not, keep working on it, because it's good for you. It's really good for you. So, but at least I'm sure we all chant Hare Krishna every day. But these things do not happen to us. Rati and Krishna Prabhu and I were chanting in the temple room right here this morning, and I did not see it happen to Rati and Krishna Prabhu. I didn't see any tears flowing from his eyes, neither did he faint once. His hair did not stand up on end even one time. So, and even, you know, I've been with many of you, chanted with so many of you, at least from time to time, and I frankly never saw it happen with any of you. Maybe I just caught you on a bad day. But anyway, you know, I'm just being a little facetious. But you know what I mean, don't you?
Yes.
You do. Of course you do. Because we're not on that level. So what is that level? Well, you could say, well, Lord Chaitanya's God, so, you know, there you go. That says it all. And in a sense, it does. But then we can also look at it from a little different perspective, that Lord Chaitanya had that experience, and he had it immediately. It didn't take him a year or 5 or 10 or 40. It was just like he walked away chanting and it started happening. And why is that? Because Lord Chaitanya was chanting without offenses. And the more, at least put it this way, the more we can and do chant without offenses, or without, shall we say, with less and less, as the level of offenses reduces and the more purity starts to actually be there, then a more, so, sort of proportionately, basically, a proportionate type of experience will come. Yeah, it will. Because this is the process for achieving love of God in this age. The process is not to do deity worship or silent meditation or fire sacrifice, you know, these different things. Although, of course, they're all very nice and they have their places in our lives in Krishna consciousness. But without the foundation of the chanting of the holy names, and particularly the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, none of these things are going to really work. And everything will work better the more we chant Hare Krishna and the more we chant better. So that's how I wanted to begin, by just reminding you of that situation. And encouraging you, please try and do it as much as you can. So Lord it happened with Lord Chaitanya because he was chanting without offenses. And I'm so sorry to say, devotees, like I said, we're trying to frighten you here. But the reason it's not happening to us is because we are committing offenses, actually. And we might be sitting here right now, even some of us, thinking, what do you mean committing offenses? I'm not committing offenses. What, you know, when did I last blaspheme a devotee or do something like that? But Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, if you read Madhurya Kadambini, when he's running through some of the offenses, he doesn't go through all of them, but he elaborates a bit on some of them. It's the chapter on Anatha Nivritti, and he says that someone may question, or not question, but someone may say, I am not committing offenses. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's response is, one should never say that. One should never say that. And he says that the proof that we are, even if we're not consciously aware that we are, you know, at least say all the time, that, ah, just see, I just committed that offense, and then a little later on, ah, there I did it again, I committed some other offense. We may not be aware at least every time, but Srila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, to make this point that one should never say that, he quotes a verse from the Bhagavatam, which is, you could note this down, you're all students right here, write, note things down, that way you can get better marks when we have our test. But seriously, we want you to learn something. This is not just a social chat or something. We want you to learn. So he quotes Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Verse 24. 2, 3, 24. Tadashmasaram ridayam batedam yad grihyamanaya harinama deyai na vikriye tata yadavikaro ne trejalam gatra ruheshu harsha. If one's heart does not change, tears do not flow from his eyes, his body does not shiver, and his bodily hairs do not stand on end as he chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it should be understood that his heart is as hard as iron or steel framed. This is due to his offenses at the lotus feet of the Lord's holy name. I mean, this is one translation of that verse. So, you know, again, you're just wonderful devotees. Many of you I've known for many years. A few of you I've known practically since, or even literally since the day you were born. And I don't want to insult you or belittle you or demean you or anything like that. But what the Bhagavatam is saying is that if these symptoms do not come when we chant the holy names, our hearts are steel framed, which is not nice. Means hard heart. Doesn't just mean like a strong heart. It means a hard heart. Yeah. And this is due to offenses. This is due to offenses. I've mentioned a number of times before, many times even. One time I was in Prabhupada's room in Bhaktivedanta Manor. Prabhupada was giving a darshan, and one devotee read a little excerpt from Nectar Devotion. I'll read it right now. Let's see. This is the chapter, actually I forget which chapter it is. Is it the 6th or the 8th? And it's around there. Nectar of Devotion. Even when a person becomes an offender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself by committing, if you're familiar with that chapter, there's two lists of about 30 offenses in each list. or something like that, you know, a whole collection of offenses. So if one becomes an offender against the Lord by doing those things, he can still be delivered simply by taking shelter of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In other words, the chanting of Hare Krishna is beneficial for eradicating all sins. But if one becomes an offender to the holy names of the Lord, then he has no chance of being delivered. Tough luck, devotees, if that's what you're doing. Anyway, that's what Prabhupada says. No chance of being delivered. So this devotee read that out to Prabhupada and then asked Prabhupada, isn't there something we can do, though, to overcome those reactions if we have offended the holy names? And I'm sure many of you remember, I've described this whole experience so many times. Prabhupada gave him one of those looks, a sort of, you know, I can't do it, but, you know, penetrating look, like, who are you? Sort of look. Oh, yeah. It was suddenly silence. Then Prabhupada said, you are asking this question because you want to offend. You want to offend and then just do something just to overcome it. But Prabhupada said, you must not do that. You must stop offending. No more offenses. Yeah. Okay, so that's all by way of introduction, devotees. We're now going to discuss, and we may even, we'll see, what time we meant to finish? 8:30. 8:30, is it? Okay, we'll do our best. Okay, so let us, we may, just for the, there's only 35 minutes left, we may just focus on this first offense because it's a real killer, actually. And arguably it's the most common. Anyway, it's an extremely important offense. To blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy names of the Lord. There is a verse. There's a verse. It's by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You can find it in Harinam Chintamani. Satam ninda namna paramam aparadam vitanute yatakyatim yatakatam usahate tad vigariham, which means blasphemy of the great saintly persons who are engaged in preaching the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the worst offense at the lotus feet of the holy name. The Nam Prabhu, who is identical with Krishna, will never tolerate such blasphemous activities, even from one who passes as a great devotee. So first thing, in regards to this, first thing I wanted to mention, even I'll read a verse or a couple of verses from the Bhagavatam to just back it up, is the essence of this, the essence of this is that anyone, here of course we're talking about the great saintly devotees, to blaspheme the devotees who've dedicated their lives, you know, that sort of devotee there, not just your ordinary everyday devotee, so to speak. We're talking about advanced devotees, particularly here. At least let's begin the discussion by saying that. So the point, the sort of the bottom line, the essence of the problem is that those devotees who someone is now blaspheming or criticizing or doing something of that sort, those devotees are extremely dear to Krishna. And Krishna takes it personally. You know, sometimes if someone offends someone else somehow, you know, someone offends someone else, someone may say to the offended party, don't take it personally. Have you ever heard that said? Don't take it personally. In Krishna consciousness, well, Krishna consciousness is a very personal process. There is nothing impersonal in Krishna consciousness. I think when people say, don't take it personally, I think they're saying, take it impersonally. But we are not impersonalists. So we say, with everything, take it personally. Take it personally. And Krishna takes it personally. There's a famous little passage, little section in Mahabharata, where Duryodhana, the great demon, Duryodhana speaks some criticism of the Pandavas in Krishna's presence. The Pandavas, anyway, actually I don't know if they were there or not, but Krishna was definitely there. And Duryodhana did not say anything against Krishna at all, but against the Pandavas. And Krishna became very angry. And Duryodhana was surprised and protested a bit that why? I didn't say anything against you. Why are you becoming like that, becoming offended? And Lord Krishna famously said, any friend of the Pandavas is a friend of mine, and any enemy of the Pandavas is an enemy of mine. So, you know, there again, it's the Pandavas. They're not your ordinary Johannesburg devotee slogging it out at work all day, dragging themselves into the seminar in the evening and trying to stay awake. Or anyway, I didn't say that, actually. They are the Pandavas. They're eternal associates. They're really special. They're just really, really special devotees, even amongst the devotees. So Krishna feels like that about those, that type of devotee. And in the ninth canto, chapter 4, from verse 63 to 68, about that. Well, there's a series of six verses. Oh yeah, 63 to 68. Six verses. In which Lord Krishna expresses in the most sort of clear and forthright way that he does, you know, make this point anywhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, how he feels about the devotees. I won't read all six verses, but let me read a couple. I'll read verse 63 and then 68, the first and the last. Aham bhakta praradi no hyasvatantra ivahadvija sadubhya grasta hridayo bhaktair bhakta jana priya. I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I'm not at all independent. Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the cause of their hearts. What to speak of my devotee? Even those who are devotees of my devotee are very dear to me. So, you get that? That's nice, isn't it? That's the Lord expressing his heart. And he says, even those who are devotees of my devotees are very dear to me. In the purport, if you read the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions certain devotees like Narada Muni, Lord Brahma, some very special people, as being directly devotees of Krishna. And then he refers to others, like, if I remember correctly, the six Goswamis and others like that, as being devotees of those devotees. And they're very dear to the Lord. We can just throw into the mixture, into the sabji, into the butter paneer, an extra little spice, just to, you know, spice things up a bit. You do get some special cases of people who are devotees of devotees, but they were not devotees. Wow, did you get that? Did that make sense? They were devotees of devotees, but they were not devotees of the Lord. Even they were anti. And the very classic example that comes to mind is Agasura. Agasura was the brother, one of the brothers of Putana, along with Bakasura. And Putana, when she came to kill Krishna, she initially saw him in the cradle, and there was a little motherly feeling arose, just momentarily, for a second or two or something like that. And then it was completely overpowered by her just overwhelming desire to kill the Lord and destroy the Lord. You know, just terrible, horrible mentality. But at least momentarily she thought positively, little motherly mood, for maybe a second or something like that. On the basis of that, Krishna overlooked all the super negativity and took her back to Godhead. She's there in Goloka right now. And when all of you nice devotees at the end of this lifetime, Hare Krishna, we pray to the Lord, go to Goloka Vrindavan, you may meet her at the entrance. She's there, she's like a nanny. She's a nanny in Goloka. And she may greet you at the entrance. Welcome to Goloka. You know who I was? I was Putana. In all seriousness, actually. So she had that little positive qualification, although it was really little. Agasura was her brother. He had no positive qualification at all. He was more or less what you could call a pure, unadulterated demon. There's basically actually nothing positive. You know, even someone like Adolf Hitler was opposed to drinking liquor to some degree. Yeah. To some degree. But Agasura, he had nothing going for him at all. It's a very difficult condition to achieve, actually, because of the modes of nature. It's usually unavoidable that even the nastiest person will have something nice about them, because there's some touch of goodness. But Agasura, nothing. The only thing was, he was very devoted to his sister. And by this time, she'd already gone back to Godhead. By this time, she was a devotee. So he was now a devotee of a devotee, although he was not a devotee of the Lord. He was the exact polar opposite. But when Krishna killed him, he went back to Godhead. He went to Vaikuntha. He got Sarupya Mukti. Normally, if demons are killed by the Lord, they get Salokya Mukti. If they're killed by Krishna himself, personally. Other forms of the Lord, they normally don't even get liberation, or they may not. So, but he went to Vaikuntha, and he's there. Because he was a devotee of a devotee. Yeah. So, then I said we'd read the last one. Let's just quickly have a look at that. Sadhava ridayam mayam, sadhinam ridayam twaham, madanyate na jananti, naham tebyo managapi. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I'm always in the heart of the pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. This is just giving us a little insight into the intimacy and the depth of the relationships between the Lord and his devotees, particularly those who are like, you know, really very, very elevated devotees. It is really quite something. And in one of the purports there, Srila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, he makes a very interesting point. Because Devasa Muni, you know, it's a long story, I assume you know the story. I will not go into the whole story at all. Devasa Muni was in danger from the Sudarshan Chakra, and he was begging the Lord for protection. Please withdraw your weapon. And he told the Lord, you know, you're so kind to the fallen. You're so merciful to the suffering, struggling souls. And I'm one of them. I'm suffering and struggling. Please help me with some mercy from your very kind heart. And the Lord, according to Srila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, the Lord said, you're right, I have a very merciful heart. But there is one problem. I do not have my heart any longer. I've given it away. I've given it to my devotees. So if you want some mercy from my merciful heart, you have to go to my devotee. Because he had offended Maharaj Ambarish, who was a great devotee. So you must go back to Maharaj Ambarish, get his mercy. So in other words, the relationship is very deep. Prabhupada sometimes would give the example that the devotee is like the child. Many of you are parents, you know what it's like, how you feel for your child. And you know, if someone were to abuse your child, like strike them in front of you, or even just say something mean in front of you, it hurts, doesn't it? Yeah. So the devotees, the Lord, his attitude is kind of paternal, parental. And if someone offends one of his devotees, he feels like, he reacts like that as a parent. And he can react very strongly. The prime example of that is Lord Nrisingadev. Yeah. Reacting against Hiranyakashipu. You all know that story very well. So, okay. So that's about the great devotees. So does this only, who does this apply to then, this offending the devotees? Is it only like the great devotees like Srila Prabhupada or some special devotees like that? Or is there a broader application? There's a definitely a broader application. I want to read something from actually Srila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur. Again, he says, one should not be of the mentality to think that the offense of sadhu ninda, or blaspheming the devotees, operates only in relation to a Vaishnav who is fully and perfectly qualified with all the qualities mentioned in scripture, such as tolerance, mercy, kindness to all living entities, etc. Such a person who thinks that it only applies to such elevated, if you offend such elevated persons, such a person attempts to minimize his own offense by pointing out some defect in the devotee who he or she has just said something offensive about, that, oh, he's just a useless devotee anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Yeah. The scriptures say, even a person who is a very bad character, a cheater, devoid of proper behavior, malicious, devoid of samskaras, if he takes to surrender to the Lord, must be considered a sadhu. All the more then, in regard to a devotee who may show some occasional fault. So, and actually, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that if you think that, you know, I've spoken something bad about some devotee who is of low character and sometimes they're not so poetic, sometimes they're not so clean, sometimes they may be rude themselves, and I just point out, ah, what a useless devotee. Then so I justify it by saying, well, look at him, you know, he does this and that and the other thing. So it's okay to talk badly about that person. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura says that if we try to justify it, it makes the effects, the result we'll get, will be worse than if we simply offend them. If we try to justify the offense. Yeah. Here's an interesting point. Sometimes someone may offend a devotee. Let's hope we don't. Someone may offend a devotee, but the devotee may not appear to be offended, like manifest any sort of emotional reaction of disturbance or becoming upset because of being spoken to in that way. So then you might think that, well, that's okay, it wasn't an offense because he didn't feel offended. If it's an offense, the person has to be offended, but this person is not actually offended, so it's not an offense, so no problem. Let's take prasad and relax. But what is said is that although the Vaishnav may forgive offenses, but the dust of his lotus feet will not. Yeah. So in other words, it matters. Even if a person just brushes it off. I used to know this one devotee in England. His name's Raghudvaha, old disciple of Prabhupada. Extremely humble soul. He was chanting his japa. We were on traveling Sankirtan, traveling around England. He was chanting outside the van, just walking up and down, sort of almost right next to the van, just a few inches away. And he walked past the one window in the front where devotees were sitting chanting. And one of the devotees sitting chanting turned around and spat like a serious spit right into this devotee's face. And the devotee turned, who got spat on, said, oh, sorry, Prabhu. Like, you know, it was my fault, I was in. You needed to spit, I interfered with that, so it's my offense. Yeah. So if somehow you end up in some situation like that and the person, it appears like they're not offended, take it that it's an offense and you must do something about it. Here's another one. There's a story actually in Bhakti Ratnakara. It's well worth reading. There's some very interesting comments at the end of it, in which Srila Rupa Goswami is deep in meditation on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and one elderly Vaishnav comes to visit him. The elderly Vaishnav was physically sort of severely debilitated through old age, and he walked in some strange way, like bent over and, you know, all very sort of, you could say, clumsy walking and like that. And in the pastime that Rupa Goswami was meditating on, Radharani was being decorated secretly. She didn't want Krishna to see until everything was finished. But Krishna snuck up from behind and started decorating her hair from behind, and Radharani didn't know. She thought, you know, this is all a secret from Krishna. But then at the end, she looked in a mirror and she saw there's Krishna. And everyone roared with laughter. And Rupa Goswami, who's not in external consciousness, his consciousness is withdrawn from the external level, he laughed, but his body laughed. And he was looking straight at that Vaishnava. His eyes were, although he was not conscious externally. And that elderly Vaishnava, you know, who was a little sort of conscious of his condition and how strange he looked, he thought, oh my gosh, he's laughing at me. I've done something wrong. Oh no, what is this? This is terrible. What to do? I know, I'll go and ask Sanatan Goswami, who was not too far away. So off he went. And that moment, Rupa Goswami's meditation, absorption, broke. And he was almost thrown into external consciousness, like with a shock. He came back into the worldly situation and he thought, wow, something has happened. What has happened? He tried to go back into the meditation. He couldn't. What's happened? Something has happened. Maybe I offended someone. What to do? Ah, I know. I'll go and ask Sanatan Goswami. So by the time he got himself together and got there, the elderly devotee had explained the little incident of the laughing to Sanatan Goswami. And then Rupa Goswami came and explained what had happened to him. He'd lost, he couldn't enter into the Radha Krishna Leela. Something must have happened. So Sanatan Goswami brought them together. There's some interesting statements made at the end of that whole description. I won't go through them. If you ever get a chance, you should read them. But the point is, the bottom line is, that even if someone feels offended with you, but you have not actually done any offense. Rupa Goswami had not actually offended. Not offended. But the devotee felt offended. So it matters. In other words, in Krishna consciousness, everything matters. And, you know, if some devotee feels offended with you, but even if you're aware, actually, I didn't offend them. They're mistaken. They don't understand. I didn't offend them. But still, we need to take it that offense is there and try and deal with it. Deal with it basically means, you know, even though I mentioned Prabhupada said, you know, we shouldn't think too much, what can I do to overcome the reactions if we commit offenses? But still, if someone is offended with us, at least it's only good sense to apologize and really try and do it in a meaningful way from the heart. And then the devotee may forgive you, and then it's basically all right. Yeah. So who is a Vaishnava? When you talk about Vaishnava aparad, in a sense the first question is, well, who is a Vaishnava? And Lord Chaitanya, he was asked by the inhabitants of Kulina Gram 3 times, 1 year after the other, over 3 years. How do we recognize a Vaishnava? Who's a Vaishnava? First time he said, anyone who in their lifetime chants the name of Krishna once is a Vaishnava. Or he says, is the best of the common people. Yeah. So when you really get into it, the sort of definition of what's a Vaishnava, who's a Vaishnava, can be pretty broad. Yeah. And even if you offend some dirty, rotten, you know, nasty materialist, don't be too quick to think that just because they're dirty, rotten, nasty materialist, that it doesn't matter. Because everything matters. Yeah. And we should try to be exemplary in our behavior. Okay. Now, devotees, I want you to write something down. Those of you who don't have any means of writing, write it in your head in indelible ink. Yeah. There are 4 types, according to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, 4 types of blasphemy, bad talk about devotees. Number one, criticizing them, because when you observe them and how they conduct themselves, you feel you see some last traces, sort of like hangovers from their previous life before they were devotees. Some habits or ways of expressing themselves. You know, sometimes devotees from, like, you could say, staunch, conservative backgrounds, could be Indian, Hindu-type backgrounds, could just be a Western, staunch, conservative background. Sometimes when they meet devotees who are from hippie backgrounds, and who may still use hippie jargon to some degree. Wow, that's far out. Wow, that's cool. You know, this sort of rubbish talk. Anyway, it's true, whatever, it's just words. It's just ways of expressing emotions. They may think, oh, why'd they use this language? You know, this is all, it's Malecha language. Yeah. Or maybe some eccentricity. Some eccentricity from their upbringing. So yeah, if you criticize someone because there are still some traces left over from their pre-devotee life, this is one classic type of blasphemy, which yeah, fits into this context. Number two, criticize a Vaishnava because of their birth. That, I was born in a Brahmin family. I may be working, you know, in an office as an administrator now, but I was born in a Brahmin family. And you, look at you, my God. You were just, you know, you're a Patel, a Vaishya. You're not born in a Maharaj family. You know what I mean? And it can get a lot worse than that too. So to criticize a devotee because of their birth. Number three, to criticize a devotee because of some because they have some accidental difficulty, even accidental fall down, or some momentary lapse, unpremeditated, just somehow, they sort of blow a little bit of a fuse momentarily. So to criticize them for that, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, is the third of the 4 types of blasphemy. Or to criticize them because of how they lived before they became devotees. You know, they may have been drug takers, drinkers, involved in illicit sex life, and whatever, and or whatever. But if now if they're trying their best to be devotees, then it is the first offense to criticize them because of what they did before they took to Krishna consciousness. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, just to frighten us suitably, he says, such an offender will never develop a taste for chanting the holy name. It's a bit radical, isn't it? And we can remember what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita chapter 9 verse 30. You all know chapter 9 verse 30, don't you? Abhichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sadareva samantavya samyagvya basatohisa. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he's to be considered saintly because he's properly situated in his determination. Now, we're running out of time. I'm going to conclude in a couple of minutes. How do you become a blasphemer? Well, of course, a substantial part may be just because there is hangover from your own upbringing. And after all, that's sort of the way in the material world. Mr. Trump, I think he, you know, has that sort of background. I shouldn't say it, should I? But anyway, I think it's recognizable. One thing which can, the important thing to bear in mind, is who we associate with. In Nectar of Devotion, in the earlier part, I actually forget exactly where it is. Prabhupada talks about two types of bad association. One type is people who are just materialists. It's pretty obvious. The other type, second type, it's much more subtle and more dangerous. People who are basically devotees, but they have some serious weaknesses. Yeah. So, for example, they, and even though, you know, they're involved in Krishna consciousness, but for example, they may say things like, well, I came across a classic just a couple of weeks ago, a devotee in Russia, was saying, yeah, Prabhupada, you know, when he gives his classes, they're not so philosophical. He's trying to stimulate us, get us to do something. And the devotee said, it's because he's a Capricorn. That's a pretty sort of classic example. Because he's a Capricorn. Hopefully you don't know enough about astrology to know much about Capricorns, but apparently they're something like that. So such a person may say, yeah, four regulative principles, you know, it's nice. But we don't want to be fanatical. Three is good. Three out of four. 75%. That's a good pass. At school you get 75%, you get an A. So, and you know what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita? He said, Krishna says, what can repression accomplish? You don't want to repress yourself. So this type of association, minimizing Krishna consciousness, kind of in the name of Krishna consciousness, something like that, is very bad. It's very bad. And if we hear blasphemy, sometimes devotees, they may sit around and talk about another devotee's like this, or she's like that, or they're like this and that. And you may say, look, you know, don't speak badly about a devotee. And they may say, well, but this is Krishna conscious. We're talking about their Krishna consciousness. This is Bhakta Kata. It is purifying. It is cleansing. Like taking a nice bath. Raghunath Das Goswami in Mana Shiksha said, yes, it is like taking a bath. But taking a bath in donkey urine. Yeah. Very contaminating. Let me just close. Let me almost close by saying, what should you do? What should you do if you hear blasphemy? Well, in Nectar of Devotion, you'll find a description. It says, if you hear blasphemy, you should kill the person. Okay, next point. But if you can't kill them, kill yourself. Okay, got it. And if you can't do that, just cut the person's tongue out. And if you can't do that, get away. Because if you don't get away, if you hear, here's Srimad Bhagavatam, listen to this, 10:74:40. Anyone who hears criticism of the Supreme Lord or of his faithful devotee, yet fails to immediately leave the place, will certainly fall down, deprived of all the pious credit of his past activities. You know, I think we'll continue on, say a little bit more about this tomorrow, because a lot of the others, you know, there's definitely not as much to say. So let's just call it quits for this evening. Anyone have one comment or question they'd like to bring up? Shanti Jorpa, loud and clear.
Guruji, what about mental offenses?
You know, in Kali Yuga, mental offenses, you don't really get so much reaction for. Or at least sinful activities thought about, you don't get any reactions. In Dwapara Yuga, if you think, for example, of illicit sex, you'll get the same reaction as if you did it. But not in Kali Yuga. If we think, you know, it's very personal, and Krishna's watching. If we think badly about another devotee, Krishna's listening, and he'll do something. It's not necessarily that we can give you a list, you know, he'll do this or this or this. But he'll definitely do something to shake you up and to make you feel that, wow, that was really the wrong thing to do. Yeah. Krishna is very clever, creative thinker, a creative corrector, disciplinarian. Yeah, and if you think badly about devotees, you'll definitely get a real reaction, which will hurt you. And then you'll realize, yeah, wow, mustn't do that. I think we'll wind up for this evening. See you tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai. Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Swami Maharaj Ki Jai.